Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Grand Improvisation, America Confronts the British Superpower. 1945, 1957 by Derek Liebert examines a pivotal transition in global power after World War II, when the United States increasingly shaped the international order, while the United Kingdom struggled to sustain its far-flung commitments. Rather than treating the handoff as neat or inevitable, the book frames it as contingent, political, and often improvised, driven by clashing priorities, fiscal realities, and urgent security dilemmas. Liebert highlights how Washington and London negotiated the realities of empire decolonization and alliance management amid the rise of the Soviet Union and the early Cold War. The narrative follows how policies were formed under pressure, how institutions and military plans adapted, and how leaders balanced ideology with pragmatic necessity. Covering the years from 1945 through the Suez era, the book offers a grounded look at how modern transatlantic relations were constructed and why their early frictions mattered for the shape of NATO. Middle East strategy, nuclear policy, and the broader American approach to global leadership. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, an uneven partnership after World War II. A central theme is the complicated reality of Anglo-American cooperation in the immediate post-war years. The United States emerged with unparalleled industrial capacity and a growing readiness to organize global security, while Britain retained worldwide bases, intelligence networks, and deep diplomatic habits from its imperial past. Liebert's account emphasizes that collaboration did not erase rivalry. Washington often questioned London's ability to fund its commitments and worried that imperial priorities could entangle American strategy. Britain, in turn, sought to preserve influence by shaping American decisions, sometimes presenting established positions as necessities of stability. The book explores how this relationship produced both mutual dependence and persistent friction, especially when rapid events demanded quick choices. It shows how personal leadership styles, institutional cultures, and different assumptions about empire and sovereignty shaped decisions that later looked like strategic design. By focusing on how policy actually formed, the narrative reveals the partnership as a sequence of negotiations, trade-offs, and learning moments that helped define what the special relationship would mean in practice during the Cold War. Secondly, financial constraints and the limits of British power. The book underscores that post-war geopolitics was inseparable from national balance sheets. Britain's wartime exhaustion, debt burdens, and currency pressures repeatedly narrowed its room for maneuver, even as it tried to maintain global responsibilities. Liebert highlights how economic weakness influenced military posture, overseas basing, and diplomatic bargaining with the United States. This is not presented as simple decline, but as a series of hard choices that pushed British leaders to seek American support, adjust commitments, and sometimes double down on symbolic demonstrations of strength. The analysis connects fiscal stress to high-level policy disputes, including the tempo of withdrawal from certain regions and the ability to sustain large conventional forces. It also clarifies why the United States sometimes viewed British positions as unrealistic, while Britain feared that American power could be unpredictable or insufficiently attuned to local realities. By tracing how economics constrained strategy, the book helps readers see how financial leverage and aid were not side issues, but core instruments that reshaped transatlantic influence and accelerated the post-war redistribution of global leadership. Thirdly, Cold War strategy and the architecture of Western security. Liebert situates the Anglo-American relationship within the urgent task of responding to Soviet power and uncertainty in Europe and beyond. The book describes how early Cold War strategy required the creation and strengthening of institutions, alliances, and military planning frameworks that could operate across national lines. It examines how threat perceptions differed and how those differences affected decisions on force posture, intelligence sharing, and the political cohesion needed for deterrence. Readers see how British experience with global diplomacy and regional knowledge intersected with American resources and industrial scale, producing both synergies and disputes. The narrative pays attention to the practical challenges of coordinating policy when communications, bureaucracies, and military doctrines were still adapting to a new era. In this telling, NATO and related security arrangements emerge not as finished blueprints, but as evolving compromises shaped by events, domestic politics, and leadership judgments. The result is a clearer understanding of how Western strategy was built under pressure, how alliance dynamics influenced national choices, and why early institutional decisions continued to echo through later Cold War crises. Fourthly, decolonization, regional crises, and competing priorities. Another major topic is how decolonization and regional instability tested the coherence of Anglo-American goals. Britain faced rising nationalist movements and the need to manage withdrawal or reconfiguration across parts of Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. The United States often spoke the language of self-determination while also prioritizing anti-communism, and access to strategic regions. Liebert's approach highlights how these motives did not always align, leading to disputes over timing, methods, and messaging. The book portrays crises not as isolated events, but as stress tests that expose different assumptions about legitimacy, control, and the uses of force. Britain sometimes sought American backing to sustain order and protect interests, while American policymakers worried about being drawn into imperial legacies that could damage U.S. credibility. The discussion shows how local actors, not just superpower decisions, shaped outcomes by exploiting divisions or forcing faster change than policymakers anticipated. By following these episodes across the 1945 to 1957 period, the book explains how the end of empire reshaped Western strategy and redefined what cooperation meant in contested regions. Lastly, improvisation in policy making and the road to Suez. The idea of improvisation runs through the book as an interpretive lens for understanding why major decisions often looked reactive, even when leaders claimed strategic clarity. Liebert emphasizes the mismatch between public confidence and private uncertainty, showing how governments patched together responses amid incomplete intelligence, domestic constraints, and rapidly changing international conditions. This theme becomes especially vivid as the narrative approaches the Suez era, when underlying tensions about power, legitimacy, and alliance consultation became harder to manage. The book suggests the policy outcomes frequently stem from institutional momentum, bureaucratic competition, and personal convictions as much as from formal grand strategy. It also highlights how misreading partners can produce escalating commitments or sudden breaks in trust. By focusing on decision processes rather than only end results, the account helps readers evaluate why the Anglo-American partnership could succeed in building durable security structures, yet still fracture in specific crises. The broader lesson is that the post-war order was shaped by repeated improvisations that gradually hardened into precedent, influencing how later leaders interpreted alliance obligations and national autonomy. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want a detailed, politically grounded account of how American global leadership emerged in practice rather than in slogans. Students of Cold War history, diplomacy, and national security will find value in its focus on decision-making, alliance management, and the intersection of economics with strategy. It also fits readers interested in the end of empire and the origins of modern Middle East and European security debates because it shows how today's assumptions were built from contested choices. The main life benefit is perspective. It trains you to look past tidy narratives and ask how constraints, incentives, and institutional habits shape outcomes. A skill useful for understanding current foreign policy headlines and organizational leadership in general. Compared to similar books that treat Britain as a simple declining actor or the United States as an inevitable successor, Liebert stresses the messy negotiation, misalignment, and adaptation between two partners with different global maps in mind. That emphasis makes the book worth buying because it explains not only what happened, but how and why leaders reached their positions under pressure, leaving readers with a more realistic model of power transition and alliance behavior. If you would like to support Derek Liebert, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.